Well, it's a privilege to be here this morning. Brother Clark, as candid as he is, let me know that I wasn't his first choice, but I was the first one who was willing and available. And it's nice that I was considered. It's a privilege to be able to stand here and to speak and to read from God's Word and to share what the Lord has laid upon my heart. As I was thinking of what to teach and to share with y'all, I went through several lessons and several passages of Scripture, and then God just really got a hold of me about a particular topic and a subject, and it seemed fitting in the fact that we are approaching Valentine's, and this week we'll have the family conference and the marriage conference, and I'd like to spend just a little bit of time talking about the subject of marriage and what God's design is in the marriage. I was very encouraged to hear Brother Crawford, as he announced the family conference, he made an emphasis of the fact that it's not just for that newly married couple. It's not just for that family just starting out. You know, a lot of times we, whether it be in our marriage or our Christian walk or whatever our station in life, we tend to get complacent after time. We think, you know, I've hit a point where I've made it. I can coast now. You know, I no longer need to go to visitation or go to church regularly. I no longer need to do those special things and that effort with my wife. I've hit a point where I've just kind of can set back and we never arrive in this world. We never get to a point where we can have that attitude. And when we do, that's when trouble starts to slip into our lives and difficulties come upon us. And so just a wonderful encouragement. And I would encourage everyone here, if you're able to attend the family conference on Friday night and on Saturday morning as well. Dr. Henderson will be doing the series, the message on Friday night, and he is always a blessing. And then Saturday will be Dr. Knickerbocker, and I believe Brother Crawford is going to do one of the lessons as well. It's going to be an all-morning event. They're going to have breakfast and lunch as well, so I would encourage everyone to be here for that. So this morning, just like to spend a little bit of time speaking on subject of family and on marriage. Brother Felton Mosley, one evening before I preached, he offered me a word of advice that he said, if you want to be a blessing, brother, preach short. That way, it's always a blessing to the people, whether you say anything or say a lot. If you get them out of there quickly, they'll thank you for it. So I try to pattern what I do on Dr. Henderson and go no more than about 20 minutes. Now, I don't say nearly as much as he does in that 20 minutes, but I try to cut it off at that point. So if you would, turn to Genesis chapter 12. Excuse me. Genesis chapter 12, we're going to look at the first five verses of Genesis. We're told here, it says, Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. Now this passage of Scripture, if you don't have it marked in your Bible, you need to understand this is what's known as the call of Abraham. Abraham was called by the Lord to go into a new land, a place that he had never seen before, a place that he really had no knowledge of. He was called to leave behind everything, his family, his friends, his childhood home. He was called to abandon his old life and obey God. He was commanded to step out by faith and to move. He was commanded to move to action. That's an example and a lesson to each of us and in our lives. When God spoke to your heart, he called you to repent. He called you to come to him for salvation. He called for you to leave behind everything that you knew before and those false gods and those false idols. Leave behind that wicked and sinful life and move out in obedience. Now, God didn't say, I'm going to explain everything to you along the way. He said, just move out and have faith and trust me. God said, step out by faith. Come out of this world and come unto me. God called each of you and called me to action as well. You need to realize that when God called Abraham, it wasn't a day trip. It wasn't a survey mission or a survey trip. He didn't say, take a little vacation, go check it out, see if you like it. If you do, you can stay, and if not, you go back home. He didn't say, go see the sights and then return to where you were. He said, no, leave it all behind. This is going to be a permanent move. He said, go, and then I'll show you what I have in store. Faith. He said, trust me, trust that I will deliver. God told Abraham here that if you'll do this, not only will I bless you for your obedience, I'll bless everyone around you. I'll bless the entire world because of your obedience. And again, the same is true for us. If we are willing to step out by faith and trust the Lord and move out when he calls us to, we'll be rewarded for it. When we are willing to step out by faith and trust God, others will reap those benefits as well. Others will reap for the results of our faithfulness. And so, well, like what? Well, salvation, first of all. There's no better gift you could ever hope for is the gift of salvation, escaping eternity in hell and having a home in heaven. You have the reward of discipleship and fellowship with the Lord, a closer walk with God. There's many examples that we can draw from Abraham and many lessons. You could spend weeks just looking at a study of his life. If you look at verses 4 and 5, it says, "So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran." He didn't make excuses. He could have said, "You know, Lord, I'm getting up there in age a little bit. I've got aches and pains that I didn't have before. It's a long walk. It's hot out there. There's not a lot of cities between Haran and where you're having me go. You know, there's animals, there's robbers, there's a lot of obstacles out there. You know, I'm tired. I'm comfortable." He didn't say any of those things. He could have made any number of excuses. He could have said, "You know, God, I'm doing pretty good. I'm making good money right where I am. You know, I could be a blessing to people here. You know, God, this is all I've ever known. These are the only people I've ever known. God, do you understand? I've got responsibilities. I can't just up and leave it all behind for you." Again, there's many lessons that we could draw from Abraham's life. And for those of you who are wondering where I'm going here with family, for those of you who are still trying to follow along, we see here that Abram went. And again, you could spend weeks discussing Abraham's life, but his family went with him as well. If you look at verse 5, it says, "Abram took Sarai, his wife," and then go down, it says, "and all their substance that they had gathered and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came." Abraham went, and his wife went with him. Now, the Bible makes it very clear that God called Abraham, but we don't have any mention of the fact that he ever said a word to Sarah. We don't know that God ever consulted with Sarah and said, "You know, Sarah, I've got a mission for your husband. I'd like your opinion. I'd like your blessing." He doesn't say that he ever asked Sarah any input from Sarah. He didn't explain his plan to her. Just simply that he spoke to Abraham and she followed. He listened to the Lord and she obeyed him as he went. It's a wonderful blessing, ladies. It's a wonderful example to see a wife who will follow her husband when the Lord calls. I've been blessed in my own personal life with my wife is wonderful. God has sent me the perfect woman for me. She has been the perfect helpmeet. When I told her that I'd been called to the ministry and that I'd been called and given a particular burden, you know, I was honestly hoping that she would say, "You know, I had that too. You know, a burning bush experience that I know exactly where God wants us and what we're going to do." But thankfully, she was honest enough to say, "No, I haven't had that experience, but I trust that if God has called you, then I will follow you wherever God calls." It's a wonderful example. Sarah is a great example of what a wife should be. If you look at 1 Peter chapter 3, excuse me, 1 Peter chapter 3, Peter says here, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement." Peter here says, look to that example of Sarah. She called her husband Lord. She followed him. She moved out by faith when the Lord called her husband. The Bible says, look to her example of obedience, her example of faithfulness. Look at her lives. Whatever your husband has been called to do, you are to follow. Now, to be very clear, it's not whatever your husband wants. Your husband doesn't come home and say, I want a big boat, or I want a new house, or I want this or that. No, it's whatever God has called. Whatever God wants for your family, you are to follow your husband in that. To be in subjection to your own husband. Which brings us to Ephesians chapter 5. And of course, as you tell people to turn there, you can kind of see the stir among the congregation. That it's never a happy sight. It's like asking the congregation to turn to Malachi. You know that the preacher's going to start talking about money. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Paul here says, wives, submit. Now, submission has a very bad connotation in our society. People want to be on top. People want to be the leader. They want to be able to call their own shots and to be in charge. But the word submit here doesn't mean that you're a slave. It doesn't mean that the person is to lord over you and to have complete command over your every move. It means that you find your place in God's hierarchy. You submit yourself and place yourself where God has called you to be in his structure of authority. See, God is a God of authority. God is a God of structure and of organization. And he has a plan for every person and a place for every person. God has called for the wife to be in submission to her husband. God has ordered things that the husband is the head of the family as Christ is the head of the church. The husband is to guide and direct the home. The husband is to guide and direct the family. Just as the human head and the human brain directs all the bodily functions. Without the brain functioning properly, the heart doesn't beat. Without the brain, the lungs don't draw air. Without the brain, you don't move from your little toe to any other part of your body. Everything is controlled and directed from the brain, from the head. And that's God's plan, is that it be directed from the head. Now, when you get to a point in your life, if God forbid you ever have an accident or some sort of illness, and for whatever reason there's no longer communication between that brain and maybe one of your extremities, you lose that communication and that part begins to function improperly. And same thing happens in our homes. If we don't have that communication, we begin to fall out of the precision that God's called us to. We begin to lose our ability to function properly. Verse 24 says, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. It says, submit to your husband as you submit to God. That doesn't mean do it grudgingly. Doesn't do it to shut him up. Doesn't mean do it just so that you don't have to deal with an argument. It means do it willingly, eagerly. Do it with joy in your heart, with no anger or malice. And honestly, it should be an easy thing for a wife to submit to her husband. Husbands should make it easy. You shouldn't have to force yourself to submit to the authority of the husband. A husband should be leading and loving in such a manner that you delight in following him, that you look forward to where he's going to take you next. A husband should be lovingly holding the wife's hand and directing her. A husband should be giving himself completely for his wife. Verse 25 says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. A husband should be loving his wife as Christ loved the church, sacrificially, completely, without reservation. And in return, you should be submitting to him. Just like the church obeys Christ, a wife should obey her husband. Now, why is there that comparison? Why does God draw that picture? Husband and wife and Christ in the church. Because each of us is a bride, is the wife. Each of us is a wife of Christ. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you've given your life to him and trusted your eternal soul to Christ for salvation, you are now the wife. He is your husband. Each of you is betrothed to him. Now, men, we like to take that passage from Ephesians 5 and say, look, honey, you're supposed to do what I tell you to. You're supposed to submit to me. You're supposed to let me run things. But that pertains to us as well, men. That on a greater scale. We are to submit to our bridegroom, Jesus Christ. As members of a church, as a Christian, again, you've given yourself to Christ as his bride. You've committed yourself to a lifetime relationship with the Lord. So that's what marriage is supposed to picture. Marriage is supposed to picture our relationship with Christ. Just as God commands that each of us be united, one man and one woman, and to be faithful to that person through thick or thin, better or worse, sickness and health, richer or poor, God expects us to be faithful to our husband, Christ. He expects us to stand by him no matter what the situation. He expects us to follow him and his authority no matter what life brings. God expects us to leave our family and to cleave to the Lord. God expects us to follow his will. Now, each of us here who's here this morning and has professed to be saved, again, you are the bride. You are the wife. So with that thought in mind, turn back to Genesis 12, and we'll read that passage again. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. And Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. And into the land of Canaan they came. See, God didn't explain to Sarai when he called him to go forward. And honestly, God doesn't have to explain to you. When God calls you to move in obedience to your husband, Christ, he doesn't have to tell you where you're going. He doesn't have to tell you why. He just simply expects you to follow. When Christ directs that you move here or there, you're to follow his will. When Christ directs you down a new path and in a new direction, you're to, in submission, follow and eagerly follow him. We understand that Abraham, in this instance here, is a picture of Christ to some degree. Christ left his home, he left his kindred, he left his father's house, and he came to this earth to live 33 and a half perfect years so that he could be a blessing to all the world, so that he could be a blessing to anyone who would profess and place their faith in him, so that any who would trust him as their Savior could have a home in heaven. We understand that as he moves out and moves forward in that great commission and in that command that his Father has given him, we as his bride are to follow. John 9:39, it says, and Jesus said for judgment, I am come into this world that they which might not see, which see, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. In John 10:10, Jesus says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. 12:46, he says, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Our husband, Jesus Christ, came to seek and to save. That is what God has called our husband to do, and we are to follow. This morning, are you following him in that task? Are you helping him? God created Eve to be a helpmeet to her husband. You are to be a helpmeet to your husband, Christ. Are you being that helpmeet this morning? Even as Sarah called him Lord, are you submitting to his will? So we are his bride, spiritually. Spiritually, the marriage was consummated when you accepted Christ and he came to indwell you forever. You became his bride. So this morning, are you being a good bride? Are you being a good wife? Are you submitting yourself? What makes a good marriage? Well, I think if you were to do any kind of survey and conduct any kind of polls, you would see that one of the number one causes of divorce is lack of communication. Do you talk to your husband? Communication is the key. Husbands, you have to talk to your wives. You have to let them talk. You have to let them share their thoughts and their fears and their concerns. And you have to share what's on your heart as well. You know, unlike many of us men here on this earth, our husband and perfect husband in heaven is always available. He's always ready to talk. He's always ready to tell you what's in his heart. He's always ready to tell you exactly what he thinks. He's always delighting in making you feel safe, feel secure. He delights in providing for your every need, offering you protection. God wrote the greatest love story ever when he wrote this book here. Do you talk to him? Do you share your desires? Do you share your needs with the Lord? Do you even share the same home with your husband? Is he welcome in your house? Do you share your home with Christ, but expect him to share that home with others as well? Do you expect him to tolerate unfaithfulness? Do you expect him to allow you to worship other gods, to have relationships with idols? Do you expect him to allow strange men into your life? Like Sarah, are you not only faithful and obedient, but are you submissive to your husband? Do you allow him to guide you? Do you allow him to make the decisions in your home, to direct the journey of your life? If not, if you don't honor him, if you don't obey him and submit to your spiritual husband, then ladies, you're never going to submit to your husband here on this earth. You're never going to be able to honor him in the way that God has designed. If you don't have an attitude of submission to the Lord, you'll never submit to your husbands, and your home will never see the blessings that God intended. You won't have that fulfilling marriage that God desires for each of you. Men, if you're not willing to submit to your husband, you can't expect your wife to submit to you. If you're not willing to put yourself under authority of Christ, you can't expect her to put herself into authority under you. Obey God. Honor your husband. See, though he's only here in spirit, one day he is going to return again physically. If you look at Revelation 19, excuse me. Revelation 19 speaks of the marriage supper. Revelation 19, we'll start in verse 5. It says, "And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready." We understand that one day Christ will come again. Our husband will return. One day, all true believers will join in a happy feasting celebration and union for all eternity with our husband. See, the true testimony of a wife isn't how she acts when her husband's there at her side, but how she acts when he's absent. What's your behavior now? Are you bringing honor to your husband? Is your life and your actions bringing honor to your husband in his absence? What's your testimony this morning? Does your behavior honor your husband, Jesus Christ? Maybe you need to have a talk with the Lord. Maybe you need to open some lines of communication that have been closed for a while. Maybe you need to speak to him and share some thoughts and some needs. Maybe you need to let him speak to you. Are you surrendering your will to his? Are you submitting your life to Jesus Christ? Are you following him wherever he leads you, no matter what it may bring? It's never too late to come back into fellowship with God. See, when difficult times come, we seek the easy way out. We look for the divorce. God doesn't ever do that. God doesn't ever desire to end that fellowship. The Lord is always willing to reconcile and looks forward to it. It's never too late. Now, if you're here this morning, and I don't know everyone here, there's quite a few faces that I don't recognize. And even if I did, I would never want to take for granted that everyone is saved in a room that I'm speaking to. And you know, if you're here and you've never offered your life to Jesus Christ, it's very simple. He loves you. He died for you. He wants to give you the promise of eternal life and to share the greatest gift of all, a perfect relationship and marriage with him for all eternity. All he asks is that you confess your need to him, that you show him that you can't have that life without him, that you are a sinner, lost and deserving of hell, and that he can and will and has paid the price for you. If you'll profess with your mouth and believe in your heart, then you can have a home in heaven. Christ desires to be your husband. If you've never made that profession and you've never established that relationship with Christ, it's never too late. Today could be the day you could claim that prize and become the bride of Christ and have that home in heaven forever. If you are here and you are a believer, if you have accepted Christ and you are professing to be his wife, again, are you a good wife? Are you following that example of Sarah? Are you submitting yourself to his will? See, God didn't intend for us to have one day of sharing with our spouse that we love them. Valentine's was not God's plan. God's intention is that we share with him every single day of our lives how much we love them, how much we need them, how much we depend upon them and cherish them. God didn't intend for us to spend 1 hour a week confessing to our Lord and Savior how much we love him. But it should be a daily walk. It should be minute by minute, second by second, thought by thought, how much we love him, how much he's done for us and given us that we could never have on our own. This morning, as you prepare for Valentine's and for the family conference, and I would just encourage each of you to love on your spouse, both the physical one here and your spiritual one as well. Honor them, submit to them, love them. Let's pray. Father, again, I thank you for the opportunity to come to you, Lord, to know that I am your child, Lord, that I'm a joint heir with Christ. God, I thank you for the opportunity to look into your word, God, and to see you, God, to see what you've given me, and the hope of eternal life, Lord, and blessings in this life as well. God, I thank you so much for salvation, Lord, the gift that was given through the blood of your son, Jesus Christ. God, I pray that as we go about our day, that we would not look at it as a one-time event to honor our spouses, Lord, a one-day-a-week event, God, but a daily and continual walk. God, I pray that we would live lives that honor you. God, that we would do so in our homes and in our marriages. God, that we would remember the gift that we've been given. God, I pray that you'd bless the services this morning. Speak through Brother Crawford as he brings your word. God, I pray that you would bring lost people here this morning, people who have never established that relationship and that fellowship with you and trusted you as Savior. And God, I pray that you would speak directly to their hearts and break them this morning. God, that they would see their need and convict them, that they would make today the day that they're reconciled to you, Lord, and that they can claim you as their perfect husband, Lord, that they can claim you as Savior, they can claim the gift of eternal life. Lord, we will give you the honor and glory for all things that we have. In Christ's name we pray.